All us men, we love being in the video, don't we? We always love to be in a video. That was good. If faces could say 1,000 words, couldn't they? I guarantee you. Thank you so much. And we'll talk more about that at the very end of our service. There's another video they're going to share with us here in a little bit. If you have your Bibles, you turn to Psalm 128. And this certainly fits into right where we are as a church family, talking about family. And as we are just drawing close, it's hard to believe the end of this series today and next Sunday, as we have really tackled some very challenging subjects. The last Sunday was one of those challenging words for all of us as a church family. And again, I want to thank you for your patience. I know we were a little long last week, and so my apologies for that. I was a little long myself, so hopefully we'll be a little bit better on time today. That is for sure. But there was such an important need of what we talked about last week and even today as well, about these incredibly important moments in the lives of our families. And I pray today will be no different for each of us today. We draw it to a close next Sunday morning with an incredibly powerful service that I do hope that you will not miss. And anybody is able and wants to participate in this service can do that. And that is this. It will be a resolution ceremony for men and for women, for moms and dads, for single adults. You can be a part of this as you make a commitment to be a man or a woman of resolution, a man of courage. And if you'd like to have that resolution personalized, you can do that this by emailing us at the church office. They've got a running list of those. We've already got those even printed already. We'll have extras that are printed in case that you don't email us or don't want it personalized. We'll have them available next Sunday. And we're going to call, listen, let me just be clear. Next Sunday, we're going to call our men and women to rise up and take this resolution. It's going to be a powerful service, a conclusion to our series, that we don't just leave this on a shelf somewhere. We don't say, wow, that was nice. Those are some really good words. But we really take it to heart, and we really find that we're going to apply these principles to our lives. And we'll leave these series up online for a good while. The videos are there. The audio is there. The text, the messages are there. You can grab those at any time as words of encouragement, reminders about where we are and where we are going as a church family and as families, as individuals. So I'm going to encourage you that you will be back next Sunday as we do that. And also, I just want to say a personal word of thanks to our staff search team. They've done a tremendous job of leading us and helping us find this next person that God would have for us. Chris is very excited, and his family, about being a part of this church family and launching our student ministry, the main part of his job responsibility, taking it even further. Our student minister, Charlie Morgan, has done a great job. And his wife, Kim, he's been perhaps one of the longest interims in history of youth ministry, 4 years, and has done a tremendous job. We're going to say thank you to him and her and their family on November the 17th during our annual church Thanksgiving family meal together. And we're going to bombard them with diapers and wipes and things that they'll have to get a storage shed to get it all in. But we just want to say thank you to them. We love them, and we'll do that on November the 17th as well as we begin to move forward as a church family. But I want us to conclude this morning thinking about this idea this morning. We want to give our children roots to grow and wings to fly, to give them a solid biblical worldview foundation on which they can stand and build their lives upon. You know the statistics. We've talked even with Chris about this statistic, and Charlie knows about this. We've talked about this. It's been a plaguing problem in student ministry, and that is this, that we find that 75 to 80% of students, even those that grow up in the church, that 75 to 80% of those, they hit the college freshman year and they disappear. And they don't reappear on our church rolls until they turn 29 or 31 or 33 and they have children and realize, my goodness, I need to be doing something about raising my children in church. And so we're reminded that we have an awesome responsibility to help our children know and understand some important biblical principles that stand the test of time. And so our job as parents, our job as grandparents, you talked about this morning in your life groups about Timothy's mother and his grandmother. Grandparents, don't you ever underestimate grandparents. How many of you are a proud grandparent? Let me see your hands. Good. How many of you have pictures you're ready to show us at a moment's notice? Good. How many of you have thousands of pictures, right? We got phones now. You don't have to carry the big flip that you flip through your iPhone. Grandparents, don't underestimate the influence you can have, spiritually speaking, on your children. You don't realize and understand the value that you can have. So I hope you'll take these messages to heart as well. And students, these are things that I want to encourage you and children to listen to, because they will be a part of your life as well. Psalm 128, beginning in verse number 1. Let me invite you to stand with me in the honor of reading God's Word. And then I'll read Isaiah 40. verse 31, just shortly after that. Here's what it says. Verse 28. How blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in His ways. When you shall eat of the fruit of your hands, you will be happy and it will be well with you. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine within your house, your children like olive plants around your table. Behold, for thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you from Zion, and may you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Indeed, may you see your children's children. Peace be on Israel. Psalm 127 above that echoes those same truths we looked at this summer. That children are a gift from God. Then Isaiah 40 verse 31 says, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. Father, I pray you would speak deeply into our lives in this moment. Right now I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Let's talk about this for a moment. Just some brief thoughts to think about this morning about this idea of building a biblical foundation for our families. A rock-solid foundation is built by three things. There are other things you can certainly add to any list, but let us wrap our minds around these. Number one, loving together. A family that is solid, that is rock-solid, is a family that is learning to love one another. We've talked about in the first part of September, even we've mentioned the last 2 weeks, that we need to be reminded of this truth, and that is this, that somehow how we see the love, we find it by how moms and dads love each other. Even, let me just encourage you, even if you got teenagers and they're like, ooh, yuck, right? Let them see a normal relationship. We were driving somewhere Friday, I don't know, maybe it's Thursday or Friday, I don't know, and my wife and I used to be, when we were dating, we were madly in love. We were dating, right? And we used to stop. Every stoplight was a good excuse to steal the sugar. So every stoplight, I got a kiss. And so we got to a stoplight. And the boys were in the back, you know, as always, as most kids are, paying deep attention to what we're doing. No, their heads are buried in some electronic. And so stoplight, why not? So I grabbed a sugar, and they're like, I saw one of them's face. I thought, well, I need to grab another then if that's the reaction. So I said, y'all know what Mommy and Daddy used to do a long time ago when Daddy was Mr. Romantic? We used to kiss at every stoplight. I said, in Baton Rouge, was great. It had a lot of stoplights. It's a lot of stoplights. It just took forever. Can I encourage you? And I don't want, you don't want to gross your kids out and taking it obviously too far. We all know about public displays of affection, but you know, it's normal. Your kids ought to see you holding hands. Your kids ought to see that you have affection for one another. Men, you ought to see your boys and your daughters ought to see you hold the door open for your wife and open the door for her and take care of her. That'll be a normal thing that they see and that they know and respond to. And so they know and understand that, and it becomes a natural reaction for them because they see a home of love. Let me tell you what else it produces, and you don't even realize it, but it produces security that they know things are okay with mom and dad. We live in an unstable world where they don't always know if things are okay with mom and dad. A lot of their friends, and some of you have walked through those very circumstances yourselves. Love your spouse with that love language. Not only love your spouse, love your children with those kinds of love languages. You know your child has a love language as well. It's not just between you and your spouse. It's your child gives and receives love in the way they understand it best. We talked about those words of affirmation, touch, gifts, quality time, and acts of service. I've already identified, my wife and I, we know what our boy's love language is already. Now we can see that. And you can see that when they're young. It's evidence in how they do that. My son Williams, I would agree, would be quality time. Love to spend time with mom and dad. It's important. It's how love is expressed to him. Matthew is like me. It's a touch. When he talks to you, he's going to be a toucher. How he gets his love tank full. Folks, we need to be a places where we learn to love together. How do we do that? Well, several ways. Number one, express your love by embracing your children. Your children are wired to need affection. Now, some of you grew up in homes, and we're finding this hopefully becomes less and less, but I know in my parents' generation, we grew up in a home where affection was not expressed very much. It was very reserved. Let me encourage you with something, and it's been researched a lot, and I have seen it and experienced it in student ministry days, and that is this. Listen to me carefully, especially dads, if you have a daughter. I cannot say this to you enough. I've watched it repetitively. If they don't get affection from you as a man, I promise you they will find it somewhere else. Do you hear what I'm saying? I'm telling you, I've watched it happen. I have watched teenage girl after teenage girl long for an affection from her father. And sometimes, men, if we're not careful, we don't want to get too sappy and too over the top. Listen, I don't care if she's a teenager. She still needs your affection. Even if she acts like she doesn't, can I encourage you? And I promise you, teenage girls, you might correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think that I am. That we long for our parents' affection. I'm be honest as I could possibly be. Before my dad got sick, I know that I could, and I didn't do it very often because I'm too big, but if I needed to, I could crawl up in my dad's lap. There was that much affection in our home. Now, somebody said, well, I didn't grow up in homes like that, and we don't say I love you, and we sure don't kiss and hug like that. That's ridiculous. That's for television shows. I'm a man's man. We don't hug like that kind of stuff. Well, let me encourage you. Let me give you a Greek word for that out of the Bible. It's called baloney. That's deep, isn't it? Love your children. Embrace them. Hold them. Hold their hands. Love them. Let me encourage you. I'm uncomfortable with it. I don't know, it's just kind of awkward. I got another good word for you. This is a good encouraging word. Get over it, you know? Just get over it. Get over yourself. And because it's all about us. If we are uncomfortable, it's all about us, right? Now, that's what I always call it to our men. We always come to Kids Extreme. Some of you have not been to Kids Extreme, but these people that produce these motions, they don't make them for adults to feel comfortable. I'm telling you. They make you feel very awkward, very dumb. I mean, you know, we had some 2 years ago, you know, that were about space. And I mean, it was really weird. But you know what I've learned about myself is that it's not about me. Sometimes we make it too much about us. Remember the prodigal son's father? Do you remember the prodigal son's father? You know what the Bible says? And this young man had to have been a college age, 18, 19, 20, maybe somewhere in there. The Bible says when the boy returns home, the young man returns home, the Bible says the father saw him while he was a long way off. What does that tell us? That meant that daddy had been going to the top of that hill every day, praying, believing, hoping, trusting that today would be the day that his son would return. The Bible says when that boy topped the hill while he was a long way off, the Bible says the father ran. This father was no stoic. I'll wait till he gets to me. He runs to meet him, the Bible says, and he embraced him. Moms and dads, don't underestimate the importance of embracing your children. Secondly, express your love by encouraging your children. Your biggest cheerleaders for your children needs to be you. Now, we've all seen those that go overboard, so we don't want to take it too far. Those that think their children are perfect angels, okay, we understand that to be the case. But encourage them with words. Tell them how proud you are of them. And not just proud when they do well, but proud when they don't do well. That they know that your proudness, your love for them is not based on what they do, but it is based upon who they are. They need to know that you are behind them, that they are free to be who Jesus Christ called them to be. Our calling as parents, as Christian parents, is to help our children learn to let Jesus' life live his life through them rather than we as parents living our lives through our children. I'll tell you the third one. Express your love by engaging your children with time. Let me tell you what. These moments are precious. They remind me of a marble. A simple marble. Listen and watch about the importance of a marble. Listen closely.
I heard an illustration the other day where someone used a marble to represent every weekend they have with their kids from the time they're born till the time they leave their house. It came out to about 1,000 marbles. 1,000 marbles. It kind of sounds like a lot, but before you know it, those weekends start slipping away. For me, the hardest thing, the thing that really broke my heart, was realizing how many handfuls I've already thrown away. So much time wasted. And what do I have to show for it? life is precious. And even though I've squandered a lot of my time, now I cherish each one of these marbles. I guess you can say that seeing how much time I waste has changed my perspective on what's important. Careers and hobbies are good things, but they certainly aren't the ultimate things I had made them before. I guess this life is all about perspective. And even though I know I can't spend every weekend with my family, I can certainly try. I can't believe before that I was so dedicated to the things that don't really matter. Me? I've got 728 marbles left. And I can't wait to enjoy each one.
Great question to ask ourselves. Just a moment. At the end of our message, I'm going to ask our students, not right now, but just a moment. Moms and dads, want to give you a marble today as a reminder. Time is short. We're not promised tomorrow. And we need to make certain that we are spending those marble moments with our children. People often ask, how do I express love to my children? We spell it T-I-M-E. My mom and dad finally, we spent a lot of time together, but as we got older in teenage years and life got even busier, mom and dad decided, I don't know if they went to a conference or something, they decided that we weren't spending enough time together. Most times we ate meals together as a family, but mom and dad decided we were probably more mom than dad, most likely. They encouraged dad that that's what was going to happen. And said, hey, we're going to spend one night a week as a family. And so we knew in my house that one night a week, it was usually Tuesday night, so it could be moved if we had a school event or church event. But we knew when you hit the door, you better get your homework done, that after supper, we were going to spend an hour, hour and five, 10 minutes, depending on how long it was, what the activity was. Sometimes we went and got ice cream. Sometimes we watched a show together. Sometimes we played a game together. And I can remember sometimes as a teenager thinking to myself, oh boy, here comes family night. Goodness. There were four of us. My older brother already graduated by this point, and so the four of us were rotated with who decided what we were going to do for family night. I would not give $1 million for those moments. You might have to, moms and dads, in the generation in which we live, you might have to literally set aside a night to say tonight is a night that is non-negotiable. Spend time talking to them, listening to them, praying with them, playing with them, going places with them, going on dates with them. We've got to be available to our children on their schedule usually. When they're ready to talk and they're ready for you to listen, we've got to be there for our children. Lastly, express your love by equipping your children. You and I have the awesome responsibility of raising young adults. We need to equip them with the tools necessary not to become successful in the world's eyes, but to be who God has called them to be. Somebody this week, Stephanie Mixon, posted this week, I think she's in the second grade, Madison, quoting the books of the Bible through third grade. Thanks, third grade. Sorry, Madison. Are you here, Madison? There you are. Sorry. I'm so sorry. Third grade, right? Very good. Quoting the books of the Bible, and what she doesn't realize, her brother quoting them right behind her, which was, if you didn't see it, you need to go to our Facebook page. It's epic, I'm telling you. It will make you cry, and it will make you laugh all at the same time. Can I encourage you with this? One of the reasons our church is doing what we're doing on Wednesday nights is because we want to invest and equip our children with spiritual knowledge. We want to give our kids everything on a silver platter. We often heard that statement made. My question to you is this: are you equipping them spiritually to be a success in God's eyes? We must be careful that we are loving together. Secondly, we need to be learning together. Learning together. Notice the key word here is the word together. We are all still learning. Moms and dads, we're still learning. None of us have arrived yet. We all make mistakes. We're going to make mistakes. The two things I want us to talk about here about learning together. Number one, try to keep up with what your children and your teenagers are learning. Try to know what's happening. I know right now we're in the midst of this Common Core transition and change, and I want you to know that I'm asking questions. I want to know. I've asked teachers, and I'm asking administrators. You want to know why? Because I want to know what's being taught to my children. I want to be involved. I want to know so I can, A, help. I want to know what they're learning on Sunday mornings. That's why that we send home a God time every week that talks about what they've learned on Sunday mornings, because I want to back that up. I also want to make certain they're learning the right things. Too often we just have the mentality of drop them off, somebody else will handle them, and I'll do the rest. I also want to help them see the world and the events in the world from a biblical perspective. They understand the Bible has much to say about what's happening in our world. Learn together. Help your children learn to grow in their faith. Help your children learn to grow in their faith. The book of 2 Peter says this statement in chapter 3, verse 18. Turn there and read this to you. If you have your Bibles, you can certainly turn there with me. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 18 says this: "But grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory and honor both now and to the day of eternity." And listen to this in verse 5 of chapter 1. "Now for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, in your moral excellence knowledge, and in your knowledge self-control, in your self-control perseverance, and in your perseverance godliness, and in your godliness brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." We need to be teaching and equipping our children, learning together alongside them to be building these godly qualities in their life. Those qualities we just mentioned: virtue, knowledge, self-control, steadfastness, perseverance, patience, endurance, godliness, character that reflects the character of God in our lives and in theirs, brotherly affection or kindness, compassion and sensitivity to others. That's why we love to do things like Operation Christmas Child. We talk about orphans. Why? We want to teach our children to be compassionate the way Jesus was. We need to love together, learn together. The third one is we need to be laughing together. Laugh together. Do you laugh as a family? Have you learned the art of laughing? And let me tell you where laughing begins: when you learn to laugh at yourself. Did you know that you were funny? Did you know that? Just look at somebody around the room and you'll know that you're funny. Y'all are going to get that in just a minute. Just look around the room. Look around other people in your room. Look at your spouse and you'll know that you're funny. Let me tell you how you know you're funny: because they married you. They're funny. Right? I learned a long time ago to be comfortable in my own skin and laugh at myself. I've done some dumb things. I've been on a platform and said things that got discombobulated, didn't come out the right way. I've learned to laugh at myself. I've also learned at times that sometimes we get real worried about being prim and proper in certain circumstances. I'll never forget my family. We were at a restaurant, I think I've mentioned this before, in Destin, Florida, called The Sound. And it's one of these white tablecloth, napkin, you know, 9 forks and 11 spoons kind of places, and nice seafood, you know. Our goal as kids, we got older, was just to make Mom laugh. Because if supper table was for eating. You didn't do a whole lot of talking and laughing. That's not really appropriate. It's what he thought. But we always knew if we could get Mom tickled that we were safe. We were completely safe, because he wasn't going to fuss at her and then fuss at us too. And so that was our goal. And I'll never forget. There were people that were dressed nice, and we weren't dressed as nice as we were on a beach trip, and we had gone. And so I'll never forget it. I mean, we got so tickled, we disrupted the entire restaurant. I mean, it was completely, but we still talk about that day that we laughed. Listen, we cry enough in this world. We sure need to learn to laugh together. Find clean, funny movies. One of my favorite things to do, I love to watch funniest home videos with my kids. I love to hear them laugh. I want to laugh with them. Is your home a place where your kids want to bring their friends to your house? Is it a fun place? My youngest sister-in-law, Rebecca's youngest sister, remember, I was there, and Rebecca and I started to date. I'd go over to the house, and there'd be like 45 people in her house. It was a fun place to be. I mean, they'd come in and out like it was a group home or something. I mean, they were constantly. She'd say, "Well, have you met them?" I'm like, I don't know. Well, they were here the other day. I'm like, well, I think you have like 300 friends. I don't even know who to meet. She was fun. Learn to laugh. Folks, laugh in your house. Provide moments to laugh. Laugh at yourself. Let me encourage you. Another word. I gave you the word get over it. Let me get another encouraging word. Lighten up. Laugh together. Love together. Learn together. We do this as a foundation in order to do the second part for our children. And it is the hardest part of all. Moms and dads, some of you have been here. You have given your children wings to fly. It is both scary and exciting all at the same time. Yes, giving a foundation is the most important. It's very difficult, but this part is the third part is the most challenging. Thirdly, give them wings to fly. We want our children to be eagles and not turkeys. Why not a turkey? Well, turkeys don't fly very well. They can fly a little bit. We want them to soar and be all that God has created them to be in Christ Jesus. How do we do that? Three things. Number one, help children to develop a heavenly mindset. Help children to develop a heavenly mindset. Colossians chapter 3, verse 2. We're studying this wonderful book on Wednesday nights together. Love to see you there. Verse number 2. Set your mind on things above, not on the things that are on the earth. To teach our children that heaven is where our strength must be found. We have to begin to teach them when they're young to live with eternity in view. We teach them in order to live this life, they must realize that their strength must not come from in themselves, but must come from the Lord Jesus Christ. When he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That must be something we just whip out at a moment's notice just because we want to. But it's something that we live and breathe in front of our children. They need to know that we need strength as parents to grow into mature believers of Christ and to help others. You cannot shelter all your children from all the storms that they're going to face. But you can shelter them in the storms while they're younger, and then so they're ready to face the world as young adults. Listen to me. Protect them, but don't hide them from them. We often been accused this generation of parents have rescued their children from all difficult moments. Listen, the greatest teachers in life are those difficult moments. And our tendency many times is we want to rescue them out of every one, and sometimes we're called to it. Other times we're called to let them face the consequences of their decisions. And that parents, and I know I have your attention, that parents is when it becomes very difficult. It's hard. But it is our biblical responsibility. Help them develop a heavenly mindset. Heaven is where our strength is found. Secondly, your children will soar higher if they have your example to follow. One person said this statement is very true. A leader said this, but I think it's true about parenting, that we cannot take our children, know those that we are leading, any further than we have gone ourselves. By and large, the God whom our children come to know and follow will be just as big or small as the God that we serve. Let me make that statement again. I want you to miss this statement. By and large, the God whom our children come to know and follow will be just as big or as small as the God that we serve. Moms and dads, do you talk to your children about the Lord? Do they see the Lord Jesus living in your life and interacting with your life and the daily activities of your life? Children who soar are those who believe in a great and awesome God who can do the impossible and who is completely faithworthy and trustworthy. If we want our kids to become eagles, we have to have the same kind of faith ourselves so we can take them into the heavenly realms and there discover the joys and challenges of following Jesus Christ. You see, an eagle, if you know anything about an eagle, it's an incredible animal. That eagle, that baby eagle watches that mother eagle fly. There is flight training. She takes them on her wings. And eventually, she drops that wing and let them learn to fly alone. If that young eaglet, as it begins to learn to fly, is not at that point yet, watch this, listen. The eagle flies back under it and catches it. The training happens over and over and over again until finally the eagle learns to soar to amazing heights. the problem too many times, moms and dads, is we are spiritually earthbound and we can't take our kids to the heavens because we've not been there ourselves. But let me encourage you with something. Your children, God created them. Listen to me. God created them to soar. And I want to encourage you, it's never too late. It's never too late to teach them how to soar, to show them in your own life that they are called to soar. Maybe you're spiritually earthbound, but I want to encourage you today, you'd make a decision, I'm not going to be there anymore. I want to help take my kids to the places, spiritually speaking, that they are called to go. You say, I don't know how to do that. Well, I want to encourage you, you get connected to this church family, you'll figure that out. Secondly, let your children know you expect great things from them. Let your children know you expect great things from them. Teenagers, I want you to know, your mom and dad, and let me tell you, your pastor and your church family, we were expecting great things from you. We believe that God could use your generation. I believe this with all my heart, that God could use your generation to turn our world around, to turn our country around in the direction that it's headed. It will only happen as we give you a solid foundation, encourage you that you can do great and wonderful things. Now, these expectations are not designed to put pressure on them or to exasperate them, but to encourage them to give their best. Two things about this. Number one, make sure your expectations are realistic. Make sure your expectations are realistic. My dad would always say this statement. I would come home with a grade in school, and we all know, we've already talked about this, about having different grades, and moms and dads don't care what everybody else's grades are. My dad would, and I would always hate when this would happen because I knew I'd always have to tell him the truth. I would come up with a grade. It was probably less than what I was capable of. My dad would simply look at me and say this statement, son, I just need you to look me in the eyes and tell me that you gave your best. And if, son, if you gave your best and gave all that you had, that's all I'll ever ask of you or expect of you. And I'd look him in the eyes and I'd swallow real hard. I didn't. Now, here's the great thing about my dad. Son, I love you and I'm proud of you anyway. But I expect great things out of you. I have letters. Listen to me, moms. Listen to me. I've read my dad's letter before. I didn't bring my mom's. I have letters of my parents saying to me, I expect to see God do great things in your life. God has equipped you. God has given you many gifts. God has anointed you. God is going to use you. Moms and dads, those are powerful words. Listen, we can set them low for our children, and then guess what? They'll make it. Well, let's set them high. High enough they can reach them. Teach your children to rise above the crowd. Don't be like the rest of the crowd and swim downstream. Teach them how to swim upstream. Help them know and understand, moms and dads, that they're going to be a Christ follower, then they're going to have to rise above the crowd. Let them know and understand they're going to have to stand alone sometimes. They're going to be made fun of. They're going to be found themselves alone, perhaps. I can remember some moments in my life where I was brokenhearted because I was standing alone. Or it felt that way. I probably wasn't, but I thought I was. But in those incredible moments, those are moments, moms and dads, great teachable moments to help them understand what it means to follow Christ. Teenagers, we desperately need some Shadrach, Meshachs, and Abednego's. The pressure was huge for them to conform. Huge. There were adults telling them, you've got to give in. Listen, I believe Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego saw some of their elders, some of the older folks that they had been brought from Israel back there to Babylon, who they saw them bowing down, and these young men said, we won't do it. The pressure is huge for your students to conform. But remember, this generation says they want to learn more from their families than anybody else. We know it's true. Bad company corrupts good morals. There'll be times that your children, you'll have to help them make, discern, and make the right choices and the positive influences in your life. And listen to me, moms and dads, and I want to say this clearly. You have to make a decision of what's best for your child, not what makes you, their child popular. Not what will make other parents like you. And if they see in you and me that we're willing to swim upstream too? Do they see in you that you're willing to take a stand for what is right? And I would encourage you, moms and dads, that you would have them here Sunday mornings for Upstreet at 9 o'clock, for Wumbaland, for our preschoolers. You'd have them here Wednesday night at 6 o'clock. Why? Because our goal as a church family is to help your children soar like an eagle. We want to undergird and help and encourage and equip and embrace what you are doing at home and take them even higher. Lastly, and we close with this, help your children embrace the presence and the power of Christ. Help them see and understand how desperately they need to see Christ in your life and what they need to see in your life. Grandparent, church member, can I give you a word? Teenagers, look at me, students. The younger children that are in this room, they're watching you. They're watching you. My youngest son had to do a project at school about his house. And I wanted to come home and say he wanted to be just like his dad. But he didn't. He said, I want to be just a ball player like Larson Barker. For a quick moment, I was crushed. But then my heart was moved. Lars is not a perfect young man. He's got flaws like the rest of us. But there are people that are watching you. Do they see the presence of Christ in your life? I pray that they do. I pray they see it in me and they see it in you. Moms and dads, it's harder when they're at home because our kids see us in our good and our bad. So that means that as we pray with them and love them and teach them, sometimes we have to tell them we're sorry. I've had to walk into my child's room and say, hey, dad lost his temper. Not acceptable. I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? Now, I'll be honest with you. I'm a prideful person. Some of you that know me know I'm a prideful person. I do not like to say I am wrong. But I want my children to know their dad is not perfect. I cannot walk on water. I want to give them roots to grow down deep, so that one day they can soar to the highest height and be all that God has created them to be in Christ Jesus. Before we have our time of invitation, I'm going to ask our students to come, and they're going to fan out over the room, and I want moms and dads, all of our adults, okay, we're going to give you a marble. Now, when you grab this marble, and I want you to be reminded, I'd love to have enough to give you, we just didn't want to do this many, but to give you enough for every one of your children, but it gives you one. All of our, and your grandparent, you get one, so we're just going to hand them to you, so if they think you're a mom or dad or old enough, you're going to get one, so, all right? Let me get one more. I think that's it. I think they handed them all out. Thank you for volunteering. You're so kind. They took all the cups. Okay? When you get that marble, I want you to look at that marble. Steve got these. I didn't tell her what kind to get, but she got exactly what I would have wanted. It's white. It's pure. It could represent, if you will, a pearl of great price. We'll close with this and we'll have our time of invitation. As we're passing these out, I want you to think about this. Jesus tells a parable about a man who sold everything he had for a pearl of great price. And you know what that pearl of great price was? Don't miss this. Look right here. It's you. It's your child. You are the pearl of great price. And I pray this would be a reminder to you. You'd put it on your desk. You'd put it on your somewhere where you could find it and see it and be reminded. Some of you have a lot less than 1,000 marbles left. Everybody get a marble? If you didn't get one, raise your hand. You need one. Okay, come back over there if you will. Where else? Anybody else? Okay, we'll grab you. We want to get you a marble. Moms and dads, will you make a commitment that you will not waste another weekend, another day, another precious moment with your children? They're priceless. The moms and dads, we would be the men and women of God that we desperately need to be in Christ Jesus. If you didn't happen to get one, we'll have some up here at the front. You can grab them on your way out. Let's pray together. With every head bowed and every eye closed, our time drawing short. This is an incredibly important moment. Moms and dads, just for yourself, for just a quick, brief moment, you can't take your children any further than you've been to yourself. So the question would be very clear. Have you asked Jesus Christ into your heart? You cannot lead your children to a place where you've not yet gone. And I want to encourage you, if you're a mom and dad here this morning, you've never trusted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. Maybe you're a grandparent here today. I want to encourage you today. Maybe you're a student or a child, and God's been speaking to your heart in this message this morning. You know you need Jesus. Can I encourage you this morning? You can do it so simply. To ask the Lord to forgive you of all of your sins, admit you're a sinner, to believe that Jesus Christ died and loved you and you are His pearl of great price, to confess your sins and commit your life to Him as Lord. You can do that this morning. Moms and dads, you hold that marble in your hand. Maybe your children are long gone. Can I give you a word of encouragement? It's never too late to still invest in their life. Maybe you've got grandchildren in your life. So you need to invest in they. That marble will be a reminder of that. Moms and dads, you got children at home. God's given you a precious gift. What will you do with that precious gift that God has given you? Maybe this morning you need to come to this altar and say, God, I've heard this series and I'm not where I need to be or want to be, but I want to get there. Maybe you're going to bring your family to this altar and show them and let them see in you a difference. Maybe some of you need to come and join this church family. You're teaching your children that church membership's important. Whether you even have children or not, you're going to teach them. They'll know that you remember already. And God would call you to step out. Maybe you've been attending for a while and God's saying, hey, this is where I want you to plug in. This is where I want you to get connected. You can do that today. I'll be at the front to receive. We'd love to see you make that decision to follow Christ in that regard. Other decision you need to make this morning, this altar will be open. Father, I pray we'll be obedient to you in this moment right now as we sing our hymn of invitation. Time where you invite us to respond publicly to what you've done in our hearts privately. God, I pray for your Spirit to move in a powerful and real way. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's